Well, good morning. Good to see everyone today. Waiting for my lesson to come up here. There we go. All right. If you would, go ahead and turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4. We're in a series in Ephesians chapter 4, and we're looking at these ones that God has given us here in Ephesians chapter 4. There are seven of them, and today we've come to one faith. The Bible says there's one faith. In a world of my truth and your truth and my faith and your faith, it's important to note that God has given us only one faith. So it's not your faith or my faith or your truth or my truth. The Bible says there's just one faith. And by the way, this one faith, we see, unites believers. This is what God wants. It brings believers together. All of these statements of faith are uniters. And when we practice them, we're more unified. And so it's very important that we obey God and we live out these statements day to day. So, let's talk about this one faith. The one faith has been once for all delivered to the saints, we're told. This is in Jude, verse 3. I thought I had it up there. I'll have to back up. Okay. So Jude 3 says, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints." And so there is just one body of truth that we Christians follow, and that is the New Testament. And so we're told that the Holy Spirit recorded this one faith in the pages of the New Testament. And we're told not to add to it or take away from it, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, 20-21, we know that it is inspired. But in Revelation 22, 18 and 19, don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Deuteronomy 4, 2, don't add to it. Don't take from it. Proverbs 30, don't add to it. Over and over and over, God's telling us, don't add to His Word. Don't take away from His Word. And so, this common faith that we have is complete. Jude said it's complete. And it has been once for all handed down to the saints. So there's no more coming. There's no more updates that we should expect. God's Word is complete and finished. When John penned those words in Revelation, which was written about AD 95, 96, somewhere right around there, when John penned those words, that was the end of the New Testament. That was the end. There's no more to come. The New Testament is complete. And the Bible says it has been once for all added to the saints. Now, we're called to defend it. We need to defend this faith. And we're told here in Jude, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints." And so Jude wants us to contend earnestly for this. Don't let anyone steal this from you. Take this away from you. God has given us this one faith. Now, what's the best way to defend it? The best way to defend it is to preach it. I don't know of a better way to defend the truth than to preach the truth. Get the truth out there so that people can hear it. Listen, this comes from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Listen to Paul. He says, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned to fables. So Paul is talking about a time when people would turn their ears away from the truth. They're no longer going to listen to truth. They're no longer going to heed the faith that was given once for all to the saints. They're going to depart from that. And the best thing that we can do is keep preaching the one faith. Keep preaching the truth. And as long as we're preaching the truth and getting the truth out there, I believe it's the best way that we can defend the truth. Preach the truth. And that's why, you know, the churches of Christ, we tend to be biblical. I mean, we preach where the, well, we speak where the Bible speaks, and we're silent where it's silent. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that on another point. But the Word is important to us. We value the Word because it was given to us by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But we also are to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. And that's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 13:5. He says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you unless indeed you'll be disqualified? And so, Paul says we're to examine ourselves whether we're in the faith. You see, a person can depart from the faith. And we read about some people who did that in Galatians chapter 1. Listen to Paul. He says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there be some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. And so in Galatia, we see some people were leaving Christ for a works-oriented gospel. They believed that their salvation was in their works, not in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, but in their works. They had to keep the law. Yeah, it was important to obey Christ, but you got to keep the law too, is what they were teaching, which is clearly wrong and false. The Old Testament is not a part of the faith that has been recorded by the Holy Spirit and given to us in the pages of the New Testament. And so, we need to defend the faith. We need to examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith ourselves. Number two, the content of our faith. The content of our faith. The content of our faith reveals one plan of salvation. Just one. Listen to Paul. This is 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that Christ, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. You see, the Bible just presents one plan of salvation, one gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we see this gospel proclaimed throughout the book of Acts. I only listed Acts chapter 2 as one example of a sermon where the gospel is presented. But in Acts chapter 2, the gospel is presented. In Acts chapter 8, it's presented. In Acts chapter 9, it's presented. In Acts chapter 10, it's presented. In Acts chapter 16, Acts chapter 17, Acts chapter 18, Acts chapter 19. It's the same gospel. It's not a different gospel. It's the same gospel. You see, today, man has devised a method of salvation that is foreign to the New Testament. So, there are many different plans of salvation, if you will, that you see in the religious world. But today, many people have this idea that you just pray Christ into your heart. That's how you become a disciple of Jesus. That's how you get saved. Yet the Bible never says that. Paul never presented to any audience and said, pray this prayer. Peter never said to any audience, pray this prayer. John never said to any audience, pray this prayer. No one ever did this. This is foreign to the New Testament. The New Testament, you preach the gospel of Christ, and your response is not a prayer. It's faith. It's faith. It's faith. It's believing. And believing and repentance is a response of faith. Confession is a response of faith. And baptism is a response of faith. It's all faith. But each one of those is simply a response of faith. That's how people responded in the Bible. They never responded with a prayer. No one ever did that. No one. Which begs the question, where did it come from? How did that get started? And why are people practicing that today? The Bible presents one gospel, one plan of salvation. And praying Christ into your heart is not it. The gospel is always presented and people respond through faith by repenting, confessing, and being baptized. Now looking at our text for just a moment in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4. Notice with me again, if you would. Beginning here at verse 1, Paul says, therefore the prison of the Lord beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with all long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Paul says there's one body. We talked about that. There's one church. There aren't 10 churches. There's one church. One universal church. And when you get saved, the Spirit of God baptizes you into that one body. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. The Spirit puts you into the body of Christ when you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's just one church. And there's one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who indwells us and who marks us and seals us as God's people. There's one hope, that is the hope of Jesus coming back to take us home one day. There's one Lord, we talked about last week, the Lord Jesus Christ. God raised Him up and appointed Him to be the head over all things to the church. There is just one faith, that is one body of doctrine that we Christians follow. And there's one baptism by which we are united with Christ in His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And there's one God, the Bible teaches monotheism. And so these ones that Paul, we're talking about the content of our faith. This is the content of our faith. These are important. These are not trivial. These are matters that matter. These are important. And so, you will hear people say today, well, doctrine isn't important. Just believe in Jesus. You ever hear that? I've heard it many a time. Just believe in Jesus. You don't have to follow all that doctrine. Let me ask a question. Where did we get our one faith from? We got our one faith from Jesus. Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant, the Bible teaches. And so, if you do not follow Jesus, if you don't follow Jesus, you don't belong to Jesus. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? So often, we get accused of being Pharisaic because we believe that we should speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent. Now, we don't add and we don't take away. Now, the Pharisees were criticized not because they were scriptural, but because they wanted to push their traditions in addition to Scripture. That's what was wrong with Pharisees. When they just preached the word, that was right, that was proper, that was good. The problem was they were always pushing their traditions, pushing them in there. They weren't preaching the word. That was the problem. And so we stick to the book. We stick to the word. So preaching the word is not Pharisaic. Preaching the word is biblical. And that's what Paul says. And if preaching the word is Pharisaic, I'm guilty. And I'll remain guilty. Because we're called upon to preach the word. We saw that just a few moments ago back in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul says, preach the word. That's what you preach. Nothing but the word. Now, real quick, how to keep the one faith. How to keep it. Number one, you got to feed it. You got to feed it. If you don't feed your faith, it will die. And so this book, the New Testament, records your faith. The New Testament is your faith. It is the one faith given by the Holy Spirit. And it's been given to us in what we call the Bible. And so in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, Peter says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby. Paul says over in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Paul says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when you read scripture over and over, you are feeding your faith. Your faith grows as you read, as you pray, as you do many other things. But certainly, as you read the Bible. If you don't have a habit of reading the Bible regularly, daily, you're not feeding your faith properly. And your faith could die. And you have to be careful of that. So number one, we have to feed it. But number two, we have to live it. We have to live it. And James says, in James 2:26, I want us to turn to James 2. He says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Turn over to James chapter 2. And listen to what James says about living our faith. In verse 15, he says, if a brother or sister is naked or destitute of daily food, and one of you says to him, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you don't give them the things that are needed for the body, what is it profit? Listen, if someone comes to you, they're hungry, and you just say, be warmed and filled, brother. Have a wonderful day. And send them on their way. What good was that? You got to feed them. You got to take them to a restaurant or take them to your home or do something, but you got to put some food in their stomach because that's what they need. Faith is not something just lives in the head. He goes on and he says in verse 17, thus also faith itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Now, he's not talking about faith and works. He's talking about a faith that works. And so if you have faith, that faith should be demonstrated in your life. If it's not demonstrated in your life, it's not faith. It's not the faith of the Bible. But he goes on. He says in verse 18, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Show me your faith without works. Show me your faith without works. Can you do it? Can you show me you're a believer in God without any work of any kind? No. No. There has to be some demonstration of that. He gives an illustration. Look at verse 21. He says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Listen, I can take you to your Bible right now and show you very clearly. Genesis 15:6, he was justified when he looked up and believed God. That's what the scripture says. God says, look up and see if you can count the stars. So shall your descendants be. And he looked up and he believed God. And the Bible says, and God reckoned it to him as righteousness. He believed God. He believed, and God says, you're righteous. But here's the thing. James says he wasn't justified until he offered Isaac. When was that? Way down the road. Way down the road from Genesis 15:6. What's his point? His point is that faith is not something that lives in your head. It's something that is demonstrated in your life. And you can see it in Abraham's life. Yeah, he believed God way back here, but he's still believing God way over here when he's offering up his son Isaac on the altar. And so he's saying that our light, that our faith needs to be put into shoe leather. And if our faith is not put into shoe leather, it is not faith. You got to put it in shoe leather. You got to live it. It's not something that just lives in the head. You know, oh, I believe in God, I believe in God, I believe in God. No, that belief in God should translate to a life that believes in God. And it should be demonstrated by good works. So you got to feed it. You got to live it. And you got to defend it. You got to defend it. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We need to always be ready to share our faith, but also defend our faith, because there are going to be times when people attack the faith. And when they attack the faith, we have to defend it. And the only way I know to defend it is read it, preach it. That's the only way I know to defend it. If you don't know what it is, you can't defend it. You got to read it. You got to read it. So, how to keep the faith? You got to feed it. You got to live it. You got to defend it. It's what God calls us to do. If you don't fight for the faith, you will lose it. Often we say in America, you know, freedom isn't free. You don't have to fight for it. And if you don't fight for that freedom, there is the very real danger that you could lose it. See, people are always trying to take away your faith. They're always trying to take away your freedom. And they're always going to try to take away your faith. You know, Jesus warned us against false prophets. Paul warned us against false teachers. Peter warned us against false prophets. So watch out. Your faith is at risk. You've been warned how to keep your faith. And lastly, the one faith unites us, brings us together. God created us to be one. And He saved us in one body. And we are encouraged to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. That means that we give everything we got to maintain this unity. We're not going to be disruptive. We're not going to be divisive. We are going to unite God's body, because that's what God wants. If anyone destroys the temple of God, the Bible says God will destroy him. And so people need to be careful. When you're messing around with God's church, we don't mess with the church. That's His church. It's not ours. It's not ours to mess up and divide and screw up. And it's a shame that in so many places there's all this division. Everybody's divided. Even in the brotherhood, there are like 20-something different designations of, you know, churches of Christ. It's crazy. There's just one church. One church. It's a church we read about in the Bible. We see it in the beginning in Acts chapter 2 and watch it grow as it's going throughout the world. It's an amazing thing. Paul says we need to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. You have to do everything you can to keep this faith united. This one faith produces unity when we practice it. When we practice it. Because we all believe the same thing, right? When we all believe and practice the same thing, that brings us together. So, bring your Bibles to church and listen, right? Listen. We want to get this down. So the Hebrew writer warns us, encourages us, I guess, maybe to say that we're supposed to keep Jesus out as the object of our faith, right? And that's what he says. Keep Jesus out there as the object of your faith. He's the author and finisher of your faith, according to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. So if you're going to run this race and finish, you got to stay focused. You got to stay focused. You got to stay focused on Jesus Christ. If you don't stay focused on Him, you're not going to finish the race. Don't let anyone get in your way. This book contains your faith. Read it, live it, and defend it. And if you're not a part of it this morning, I would like to encourage you to become part of it. Jesus says, you know, in John chapter 8, verse 24, unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. If you don't believe that I'm the Messiah, if you don't believe that I'm the Son of God, if you don't believe that I'm the Christ, you will die in your sins. The only way you can keep from dying in your sins is to obey the gospel. Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried, and 3 days later, He rose from the dead. And we're told that we need to believe that in order to be saved. We need to believe that. But that belief then will lead us to repent. That belief will lead us to confess faith in Christ. That faith will lead us to the waters of baptism, where we're united with Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection. And at that moment, God saves you, adds you to the church. And so this morning, if you've never experienced that and you would like to, we urge you to come. If you have any other need, you can come as well with that. We'd love to pray with any need that you have. We're here for you, and we want to help you. So if you need help, come to God as we sing.